Good afternoon. It's 12:07. This is Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. With me, of course, because it's the first Thursday of the month, Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust. Jason, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Doing great. So happy to be here.
Good. As Jason does when he visits the program, he's brought another topic, which we'll introduce in just a few moments. And we certainly hope you'll get in touch with us with your questions and comments as well. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. For Jason, for folks who didn't hear the billboard right at the top of the show, what have you brought along for us this week?
Well, I'd like to talk today about just very simple, easy ways to get kids engaged with nature. There's a lot of great summer programs that have nature-based, you know, day camps and the Girl Scouts, of course, and the Boy Scouts and all the events that like Acres Land Trust and Allen County Parks and Little River Wetland and the state parks. Everyone does these wonderful programs that you can take your children to for a nature experience. But what we want to concentrate on today is those simple things we can do as parents or uncles or friends of people with kids or grandparents. These very simple, basic things that we all used to do just a few decades ago as routine things mm-hmm. with our kids to get them that exposure to nature. So we're looking for your ideas on what do you do to engage a kid in your life to go out and explore nature, or think back to something you remember from your childhood. What really stood out when someone took you on an experience? And again, we're looking for those simple things.
The things you could go out and do right now or go do a little bit later today.
Exactly. You just mentioned that there's a 20% chance of rain after 2 o'clock. You know, what a wonderful thing when it starts to rain, instead of gathering the kids inside, say, hey, it's raining. There's no thunder, no lightning. Let's go outside and get drenched. You know, and it's so funny because the same parent who turned on the sprinkler yesterday or this morning so their kid could get wet, maybe a little leery about letting the kid go outside in rain.
True, yeah.
And when you stop and think about it, again, if there's no chance of lightning, why not? It's the same act. It's sending the kid outside to get wet. And so what we could talk about today, too, is removing those barriers. You know, we tend to fear what we don't know. And so people sometimes have this fear of nature outdoors that, well, there's probably something out there that could harm them. Mm-hmm. Well, there is, but it's no more than what's already in your house that could harm them, you know. And so yeah, we could debunk some of those myths that there's things in nature that are harmful, because there really aren't. We're blessed in this area to have all kinds of wonderful creatures, but very, very few of them can hurt you.
We'll get the ball rolling here, but we want to hear from you. What do you do to get the kid in your life exploring the outdoors, to get them excited about nature? Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. Or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And we want to hear, of course, what you're doing to get the kid in your life outdoors, but also maybe great stories from your childhood. How did someone else get you involved and excited with nature and with the outdoors? Maybe there's a few lessons we can take from those stories as well. Call us now. So let's get the topic going here, Jason. When I was a kid, I was very much an outdoors kid. I'm sure I stayed and watched TV, played video games occasionally too. But I was a scout. I loved camping, loved hiking, liked being outdoors, and you know, a great walk, say to the lake or to a creek. And water is fascinating it was for me when I was a kid.
It is, you know, and water's always a draw at any age in your life. And so, you know, there's the mystery of what's underneath the surface. And then there's, you know, just the qualities of just getting wet when it's hot, you know. And so, yeah, if there's a water feature around where you live, I mean, that's a wonderful opportunity, you know, to take a child and just walk down a creek and see what you're going to find. You know, there is such a diversity of life around water. You know, you've got the species that live within the water and under the surface, the skimming bugs that live on top. And what a wonderful thing to see this little creature that can stay on top of the water and just skid away from you really quick. And then you've got all the animals that need to come to the water for drinks and things like that. And so it's a wonderful time of year right now to be walking down these creeks. The last two hikes I've taken just this week, I've encountered baby raccoons on both of those encounters. And, you know, what a great experience. They're pretty small right now, about 6 inches long, but they're big enough to start scrambling up the trees. And so on both occasions, I was able to get as close as you wanted to with them. They're very curious, love to see people. And so, you know, was able to walk right up to some, made sure mama wasn't around and too upset, and she wasn't. I never did see the mother on both occasions, but I knew that she was around. And so it was a lot of fun. And some of them got scared and ran into this little hole in the ground, and then some of them ran up the tree, and some of them just stayed there and just watched you as much as I was watching them. So it's a wonderful time of year to be out in nature because there are a lot of young critters out there right now.
Sure. Well, and especially the last few days anyway, temperatures haven't been too harsh. It's been pretty easy.
Well, it's been wonderful. Yep. And mosquitoes have been very tame right now, especially with the cooler weather and the weather and the breeze. And so it's been very enjoyable.
I think we'll probably see this emerge with the examples that you've brought along today, and also with you know, folks who call in at 800-471-9264. There are a lot of chances to get out and just enjoy what you're seeing, of course, just to admire the beauty, the wonder of nature. But if you're so inclined, I mean, there are also a lot of kind of science lessons that you can pass along as well, like a bug skittering across the water, for example.
Exactly. You know, and you can take it as far as you want. You know, you can just ask a very young kid, is that normal? You know, can we walk across nowhere? How come we sink and how come that bug doesn't? It must have something really special about it. And you can leave it at that. You know, and then an older kid, you can start to talk about surface tension. How does that bug use the surface tension of the water to do that? You know, why is it specialized? What can you see different about that insect than a lot of the other ones that sink in the water? You know, and then you talk about, wow, what about the ones that we're seeing under the water? You think they breathe underwater? Or let's watch it a little bit and see if it comes up for air. I bet it's going to come up for air somewhere. And then you look at that. And so again, whatever you see, you can create into a teaching moment if you want or not. You know, again, as we've mentioned many times on this program, you don't need to have all the answers. You know, you just have to be able to interact with your child as you do anywhere else. And, you know, if it's a young child, you can say, let's look for shapes. You know, let's look for a leaf that's a triangle shape. And then let's look for a round one. And just that will, one, reinforce shapes. But two, they'll realize that, wow, these big trees aren't all just green blobs. They're different. Then you get into the conversation when they're a little bit older of, well, do you want to know what that tree's name is? You know, the one with the triangle leaf, that's an aspen or a cottonwood tree. And then you go to one that's an oval leaf and you explain to them what that tree is. And then you go to a red bud and it's kind of a heart-shaped leaf. And so they become to realize that there's a way to catalog all these things. And so it's amazing what you can teach just through nature. And, you know, go back to what your expertise is, you know. Whatever your job is, you can tie it into nature. You can tie it into that and really describe these abstract things through a walk in the woods. Or again, ignore all that and just have fun out there.
Get outside.
Get wet, you know, go out there and climb a tree, you know. So you can take it to any level you want. Again, I think a lot of times where people don't is there's some reluctance over a fear or just over a sense that I'm not sure what is out there.
There's an unknown something that's going to get you.
Yep.
We want to hear your story today. How do you get your kids or a child in your life excited about nature? What got you excited about nature when you were a child? Maybe we can take some lessons from that story as well. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/middaymatters, or send us a tweet as well. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue this topic when we return. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
you know what you did yesterday?
No, I don't.
How about this morning?
I don't even remember that.
Henry Mollison's amnesia, caused by experimental brain surgery for epilepsy in 1953, helped neuroscientists understand how memory works. On the next Fresh Air, we meet Suzanne Corkin, who studied him for decades. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
On Talk of the Nation, we like to be clear about what we're talking about, whether it's movies.
A B-movie was a movie that was made specifically to be on the bottom half of a double feature.
Or the auto industry.
One mid-level executive at a top automaker told me, well, 30 years ago, we were a car company that would occasionally lend money to our customers, and now we're a bank that makes cars.
Talk of the Nation, clear, straight, open, from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
About half the seafood we eat comes from marine farms, and fish waste from the farms pollutes the environment. So marine species are being brought in that know how to recycle those waste products.
Instead of looking at them as waste, we look at them as nutrients for the next species.
Cleaner fish farms today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by United Way of Allen County, announcing this year's Most Improved Campaign Award recipient, GAI Consultants, and Park Center. That's what it means to live united. UnitedWayAllenCounty.org.
Minutes past noon, it's Midday Matters, Outer Spaces on 89.1 WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust, and we're talking today about getting kids excited about the outdoors and about nature. And we want to know, what do you do for the child in your life? What ideas do you have for the child in your life to get them excited about nature? Or maybe, what got you excited when you were a kid? Tell us your story. Call us at 800-471-9000. Always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We want to hear from you this hour. Jason, we've been talking a bit so far about just getting outside, just going and climbing a tree or running around in the rain, just to kind of reconnect with what's in our own backyards.
Yeah, you know, again, these are very simple things, and a lot of times it's just allowing that child the opportunity to be outside. They'll come up with things to do, you know, and then for us as guardians or parents to give them that liberty. Again, you know, it's funny that we may have no issue with our child climbing up a 15 or 20 foot ladder to get to one of them old slides, and we don't think about it. But as soon as that kid starts scrambling up a tree, some parents are like, oh, no, you know, that's too dangerous, even though they may only be 10 feet up. So again, we have to realize what our biases is going in. You know, is there some reason we are concerned that they're 10 feet up instead of 20 feet up? Or is it just that we're not used to the idea? And so we really have to look at ourselves and say, you know what, is that a risk that we're okay with? You know, it's amazing. You know, I looked up this morning the risk to children. None of them include nature. But we don't think about it. You know, the biggest risk for children for injury or death is in a vehicle. And, you know, we pay attention to that. We, of course, put our kids in, we're so aware of it that we put them in child seats. We make sure there's airbags in the car, and we look at our car safety before we buy it. But then we kind of forget about it. We say, okay, kids, get in the car. We're willing to put them at that risk several times a day. We know the risk, and we feel comfortable with that, even though that's the most dangerous thing to do. But then we may feel okay with that, and then we drive to a park, and then all of a sudden we get scared because of this much less risky behavior of picking up a snake. The chances of picking up a venomous snake in our listening area is so remote. There's only one. And it's a Massasauga rattlesnake. And you're not going to pick up a rattlesnake. Even a little kid's not going to pick up a rattlesnake because, one, you're very rarely going to see one. And, two, you can recognize what that is. any other snake, hey, I encourage kids to pick them up. You know, I pick them up myself. And what a wonderful way to explain to kids that when everyone else is running the other direction and you can pick up that snake and say, look, look how gentle this is. I've never been bitten by a snake that I've picked up. You know, again, know what you're doing. You know, you don't squeeze its neck and dangle it there and let the rest of its body hang there. I wouldn't appreciate being handled like that, you know. But if you support the body and let it continue to move, snakes are very calm. They're great. And so we use them a lot as teaching tools whenever we encounter one on an acres program. You know, just pick one up and, man, what a hero in your kid's eyes. It's amazing, you know.
My dad's a snake
handler. Yeah,
man.
You know, from then on, you know, next time they see a snake on the playground or something else, that kid's going to say, my mom picks up snakes. Yeah, you know. And so just that opportunity to, again, debunk this fear of nature that for some reason we're instilling in our kids because we as parents or caregivers aren't exposing them to it enough. Or maybe we do encounter it and we grab the kid when we see a snake and pull him backwards. And the kid learns, wow, there's something to fear there about that snake. Instead of explaining, you know, hey, there's only one venomous snake and here's how to look for it. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about this because, you know, it looks just like a regular rattlesnake. It is a regular rattlesnake, you know. And so it's got this big, fat, triangle head. And so look for that and make sure that the snake, before you pick it up, is not that one. And it's not rattling at you, you know. And again, you could explain where you'll encounter those snakes. And so then they know, okay, I'm going to check real quick, make sure it's not a rattlesnake. And then from then on, I know I can pick it up, you know.
We want to know how you get your kids excited about nature. Call us. Our phone lines are wide open right now, and you'll be the first to get through at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And we also want to hear stories from your childhood. What got you excited about the great outdoors? And it looks like we have an emailer here. Let's go to the email inbox. We have Anita. Anita says, my mom used to take my brother and I on nature walks. She would just take us to any park or cemetery and we would collect small objects. At home, we had a box full of hodgepodge items, rocks, bones, acorns, even a bird's nest we found on the ground. Anything that we thought was neat. Also, for anyone who missed Science Friday last week, she notes there was a neat experiment for kids. Gather up some soil from outside in a jar, water it, and just see what grows. A great idea, Anita. And it's really as simple as that. Just taking the kids outdoors, taking them to a park or a cemetery, as Anita notes. It's really that easy.
It is. You know, again, you don't need any special equipment. You don't need any special knowledge. You just go out there and explore. And you always find something new. You know, and again, you can take it as far as you want. She talked about picking up stones and acorns, and you know, that can be it, just collecting these things. Or if you want to take it a little further, you can try to figure out, where did that acorn come from? Okay, well, they may know it came from an oak tree. Well, which one? You know, each acorn from each species looks different. I bet we could figure this out if we take this home and look it up. You know, or rocks are amazing. You know, you could figure out where that rock came from. And most of our region was glaciated. And so it's really fun when you find out, wow, this rock was from northern Canada. It took a long trip down here. And so then you can figure out what rocks were here, what rocks came here. And most of our rocks came here, especially the ones you find on the surface like that. So it's really fun. Everything you find has a story that you can take as far as you want. That same rock, you could talk about that day, you could talk about that week, that month, and continue to learn different things about that one simple rock. Or just enjoy the pretty sparkly rock and put it on the shelf. That's perfectly fine also.
You're talking about thinking, if you want to go that far, you're talking about kind of thinking in a different way than we may normally think in our day-to-day lives. Not just, what is this thing? Why is it here? But, you know, actually exploring. Why is it here? Saying, okay, well, this acorn dropped from that tree over there.
Exactly.
Why is that acorn there? How did that tree get there in the first place? So one step back at a time.
Yep. You can really get into some interesting conversations and teach kids to think in a different way. And how exciting is it too when it goes from just a rock to a rock that's traveled so far. Well, how did that rock get here? No one drove it down here, you know, and then you get to talk about glacier movements, you know, or when you see a bird and you figure out what it is and you realize, wow, that bird spends its winters in Costa Rica. You know, how did that bird get that far here? You know, and all of a sudden, it's not just a pretty bird in a tree. It's a bird that has traveled maybe further than that child has ever traveled. And talking about how it did that, you know, it didn't hop a plane. You know, how did it get that far? And then all of a sudden, like the kids learning everything else around them, there's this whole new expanse of opportunity. Instead of just seeing a bird in the yard, they're wondering and making up all these wonderful stories about where that bird might have been and where it's going. And so you really just can use their own creativity and let them tell you the story of how they think the bird got there.
And that doesn't really necessarily take any tools, but I want to go to our Facebook page here, facebook.com/middaymatters, where you can post your thoughts on this topic. Bob Kaler, co-host of our Monday show, actually posted on our page. Bob says, providing simple tools can go a long way. A microscope to look at plants and bugs and pond water, a hammer to break open rocks, shovel to get a look at what's alive in the dirt, binoculars, a cheap digital camera. All of these things, if you want to take it just a half step further, can really open up this experience.
Yeah, it really can. And, you know, I like to carry just a little, you know, it's kind of like a jeweler's loop, a small little magnifying glass that you can take, and I keep one on a little string around my neck. And it magnifies things 10 times their normal size. And it's amazing what you see just at that level. You take a leaf off a tree, and then you start to look at all the holes in the leaf, and you can see where the water comes in and out of the leaf. And then let's go back to that acorn that we found just a while ago and really look at it and see, you know, how does that cap stay on? There's no glue on it. You know, how does that stay on there? How is that connected? And then you pull it off, and then you start to see how it's connected, you know. And then you start to say, well, wow, the top of the cap's got this little round thing that looks different than the rest. And then you look at it and, oh, it's got holes in it too. Wonder what that's for, you know? And so it's amazing just by looking at things closer. You take that little shiny rock we were talking about before and you start to realize, oh, wow, that's a crystal. That looks like one of those big crystals that I bought at the science fair, you know, somewhere else. And so then you realize that, wow, this rock formed as a crystal somehow. And then that little speck next to it's completely different. I wonder how that happened. And so then you start to learn more just by looking closer.
And that's what we're talking about, is looking a little bit closer or not, or just getting out and having a little bit of fun as well. We want to know, how do you get your kids or a child in your life excited about the outdoors, about nature? And we want to know, what got you excited about nature when you were young as well? Tell us your story. We hope to hear from you in the next 30 minutes. 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, facebook.com/middaymatters, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We have an email here from Mariah. Mariah says, hi, love the topic you're discussing today. Although I'm 21, I grew up using the computer. I remember always being outside. Behind where I lived, there was a river as well as a creek. A friend and I would always catch snakes, crawdads, turtles, and frogs. One time we caught a snapping turtle with a width of a 5-pound bucket. Holy cow. Now that I look back, I see how crazy that was of us, but that's the beauty of being a child, being fearless and able to explore the world in its beauty and realizing how unique it is. A perfect story. And you know what? Kids really are fearless. When there's something to explore, more often than not, they'll explore it.
Yeah, and they have good reason to be fearless, really. A lot of those things, you know, if you, you know, even as a child, when you see a snapping turtle, you stay away from its mouth. You may not know how strong that mouth is, but you know that thing can probably hurt me.
Sure.
And so when you're catching them, you're grabbing them by the tail. And so, you know, you just know, and they do that. You know, and again, you know, crawdads and things like that and crawfish. And, you know, there's so many parents who say, oh, no, stay away. That's got these big pinchers. And they do have these big pinchers. But if you're willing to let your child play with a rubber band, let them play with a crawdad. It's not going to hurt them any more than a rubber band snapping you. And then the kids will learn how to grab the crawdad so they won't. You know, most of them intelligently know that. They pick it up by its body, its claws can't turn around backwards, and they're fine. Or the time that they get careless with it and it's in their hand and they pinch them, they'll say, ow, and they'll go on. You know, these things that we tend to fear are really just because maybe we've never experienced it. Let him bite you. Put the crawdad in your hand and let you bite
Not
you.
Not the snapping turtle. Yeah. We should clarify.
And you'll realize, oh, that was no worse than a mosquito bite, you know. And so, again, if you're uncomfortable with things in nature, really explore on your own and say, you know, why is it that I have that fear? Is it founded? And if it is, then fine, stick with it. If it's not, if it's just because you haven't been exposed to it, don't let that be a barrier for your child. You know, again, turn over a log and any insect that's down there crawling may have the potential to bite or pinch your child. Again, if you let them play with a rubber band or a clothespin, let them pick up those insects. They'll learn quickly which ones bite and which ones don't. And even the ones that do, it's not going to hurt them.
Jason, it sounds like you're asking us to just rediscover our inner child.
We are. Yeah. And again, it's amazing, you know, and all these things build a lot of things beyond just the knowledge of nature. Her picking up those snakes and being able to tackle a big snapping turtle builds confidence. You know, it's fun to explore and you learn about yourself. You learn that, hey, I can do that. You know, everyone else is scared of the snake, but I know I've picked up 20 of them, like she was mentioning. She had no fear to pick up that snake because she'd done it. And so, again, that builds confidence in her when she's around other kids and kids are running away and she's saying, hey, look, you know, here's what you can do with this. So beyond just the value of learning about nature, it really builds character. And what's so fun, too, is sometimes the leader on the playground is not the leader in the woods. Because a lot of times in the woods, it's maybe the more creative kid. The playground's kind of built around athletics. You know, can you climb this? Can you swing on this? Can you kick this? Can you throw this? And that's wonderful skills. But sometimes in the woods, the kid who's now in the lead is the one who's most creative. Hey, let's pretend these acorns are grenades, and when I throw one over here, you do this, and the sticks are for this.
The person who can see another angle on what everybody else is seeing.
Yep.
We want to hear from you today. We want your inspiration. How do you get kids excited about going outdoors, playing outdoors, exploring the outdoors? Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And we don't just want to hear what you do for the child in your life. We want to hear your childhood stories as well. What got you excited about nature? What did you do? Call us, email us, post on our Facebook wall, send us a tweet. We do need to take a quick break for the news. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
Do you know what you did yesterday?
No, I don't.
How about this morning?
I don't even remember that.
Henry Mollison's amnesia, caused by experimental brain surgery for epilepsy in 1953, helped neuroscientists understand how memory works. On the next Fresh Air, we meet Suzanne Corkin, who studied him for decades. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Katie Anderson with WBOY News. Governor Mike Pence is undoing a series of Medicaid rate cuts the state made while weathering the recession. A Pence spokeswoman said Wednesday the increase would amount to 2% more for hospitals, nursing facilities, home health, and immediate care providers. The Family and Social Services Administration cut the payments to Indiana hospitals in 2010 as the state struggled through the recession. Indiana Hospital Association President Douglas Leonard opposed the 2010 cuts at the time and praised Wednesday's announcement. The state had cut how much it pays hospitals and health providers for dental, vision, medical transportation, and a handful of other health areas. Pence said, quote, "A healthy Indiana is a strong Indiana," and said the increased rates were possible because of the state's improved financial standing. Indiana's Family and Social Services Administration is reaching out to child care programs around the state to help them comply with new requirements created by the General Assembly. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more.
FSSA's Bureau of Child Care is using emails, letters, internet training sessions, and teleconferences to help child care providers get up to speed on a variety of changes required by legislation passed in the 2013 session. Bureau of Child Care Administrator Melanie Brizzi says new requirements include fingerprinting of all employees and national background checks through the FBI.
They're also going to have to implement discipline policies that they share with the families of the children in care. They'll need to take training on child abuse prevention and detection.
Brizzi says many of the changes won't be easy for parents to notice. She encourages families looking for a program to use the state's child care information website.
Parents can find a wealth of information about the different requirements, what providers are required to do. They're also able to do a very robust online search that can help them locate providers who are meeting standards that are important to that family within their area.
Brizzi says all new child care programs will need to comply with the requirements when they apply for licensing. Existing programs will have to respond to the changes before the state conducts on-site inspections later this year. Brizzi says the state is providing more training opportunities to ensure providers have enough time to comply. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And the Indiana National Guard is getting its first African-American Brigadier General. The Guard says that Colonel Wayne Black has been promoted to the position of Assistant Adjutant General. A promotion ceremony will be held July 13th. A business graduate of South Carolina's Military College, the Citadel, Black has a Master of Business Administration degree from Indiana Wesleyan University and a Master's degree in Strategic Studies from the Army War College. Black joined the Indiana National Guard in 1996 and is a former plans officer at a war game center at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And this afternoon, you can expect partly sunny skies with a high near 78. And this evening, we have a 20% chance of showers, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 57. You're listening to Midday Matters on 89.1 WBOI and online at nipr.fm.
Twenty minutes before 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters on WBOI. This is the Outer Spaces edition of our program, and we're talking today with Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust because it's the first Thursday of the month. Jason is here, and he always brings an interesting topic along. We're talking during this program about what do you do to get the child in your life excited about nature. Is it as simple as just getting outside? Do you collect certain specimens of plants, perhaps? Call us and share your story at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We want to hear those stories, and we want to hear stories about your childhood as well. What got you excited about being outdoors? What did you do? Jason, this has gotten Katie Anderson, our program director and our afternoon host, thinking about these things. And Katie says that she was obsessed with birds' nests when she was little, and if she behaved for the day, her grandfather would take her around to go look at all the nests around his woods. And that's really a great way to learn not only about about the outdoors just in general, but learning about birds, how they interact with their environment, how everything is connected.
It is, yeah. And looking at different nests, you'll see that they're different sized and made of different materials. And then, of course, you could, if you're going back to the same nest, you can really watch how long it takes for those birds to hatch, And again, just, being respectful of those birds and not interfering with it. And then you can keep coming back and really just seeing the birds being born, what they're feeding them and how long it takes them to get out of the nest.
And Katie adds here, actually, she wasn't allowed to touch them. He taught me to always be interested in nature, but to always respect it as well. And that's a good point to make. We've talked earlier about, you know, just getting out there and just diving in, but there's also that respect that needs to be explored as well.
Definitely. You know, and again, you know, it's pretty common sense. Even if you don't know a lot about animals, you know when you're hurting them, or you know when you're handling them gently. And so always err on the side of handling them gently. And again, you know, being as brief as you can when you're handling a live animal, and then getting it back into its original habitat as soon as you can. And so again, very simple things to do. But you know, it doesn't hurt most animals and insects just to observe them for a while and then put them back.
We want you to share your ideas about how to get kids inspired to get out into nature and to explore it as well. And we want to hear your stories from your childhood. What did you do in the outdoors that got you excited about nature? Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet @middaymatters. Phones are wide open. You'll get right through if you give us a call right now. Jason, we've talked about, in the theater in my mind anyway, most of the things we've talked about so far have been daytime activities, but I was a huge space nerd when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I love to get up late and watch meteor showers, or just look at the stars and track how the constellations are moving. And that's a perfect activity for folks who want to get kids excited about what's around them, but also what's a little beyond the atmosphere.
Yeah, and again, you know, what a wonderful opportunity to do something unique that's going to be remembered. You know, don't tell your kids you're going to wake them up at 3 a.m. to watch the meteor shower. Let them go to bed and wake them up. And then all of a sudden, what a wonderful surprise. They'll remember that probably the rest of their life. Remember that time mom and dad woke us up and we went outside and it was pitch black, but we were seeing those Perseid meteor showers in August, you know. And again, the peak is normally, for some reason, between normally 2 and 4 a.m. And so, you know, if you've got a clear night, set your alarm, wake the kids up. They won't forget it. And it's just a wonderful opportunity. And there's so much to do in the night sky. There'll be the meteors streaking by, but then you'll see these satellites coming by, and they're always on this north-south trajectory. And so you explain how to see them and how they're different than, you know, the planes going by. And like you said, the constellations. And if you don't know anything more than the Big Dipper, you know, I mean, hey, that's great. And then if you're out there long enough, you'll see how it shifted. And, well, how did that happen? You know, then all of a sudden you really get into how the Earth is moving. And so,
and then you get into rotational physics.
Exactly.
And you can go as deep as you like. But it's great too. It's almost a completely different way to see the world. It's a different environment at night than it is during
the
day.
Well, it is. And so many kids, we give them a bedtime. You know, our kids go to bed before it's even dark right now, you know, this time of year with the daylight savings time. And so to be able to bring them out into a new world of 3 a.m., you know, how many of our kids have actually seen 3 a.m., and to be able to expose them to that for a reason. And then while you're out there, maybe you hear the owls calling, or maybe you're starting to see, you know, the eyes being reflected in the woods if you've got a spotlight or something like that. And so it's just it's literally a whole new world for our children to get them out in the same place. Just a different time of day.
Looks like we have a caller on the line here. Of course, we want you to join the conversation this hour. How do you get kids inspired to be in nature, to explore nature? And we want to hear, what did you do as a kid to get excited, or that got you excited about nature? Call us at 800-471-9264. First caller on the line, let's go to Fred. Fred, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Greetings. Thanks for the mention of the evening sky. The Astronomy Association, nearly every Saturday during the summer, and often in the winter, out at Fox Island, has the sky viewing. And especially when Jupiter and Saturn are up, they're incredible when you actually see them. In other words, they really are out there. But I have to say that Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, especially their outdoor program, offers some of the finest outdoor experiences you can ever find in this area. And that includes summer as well as winter. The other wonderful thing about scouting is that it seeks to train young adults. young leaders to actually be the ones that help mentor the younger boys or girls. And that can carry all the way through life. And the whole idea of the experience of the outdoors, and especially some of the intimacy with the plants and animals that you can only get with an experienced eye, is just phenomenal. There are lots of scouting programs that are outdoor programs that are a part of some of our nonprofits also. And it's nothing like taking a city kid out to the country to dispel myths as well as and just excite wonder.
Fred, I imagine a lot of listeners would echo what you say, and I know you're a regular listener to this program as well. Can I ask you what got you excited about nature when you were a kid? Were you excited about nature when you were a kid?
Well, my grandma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was excited about nature. She was a beekeeper.
Uh-huh.
She raised her own peaches and gardening, and that was probably the most powerful influence other than books. Ernest Thompson Seton's books were an early fascination. And she had a woods, and I would take the Ernest Thompson Seton fantasies and go back in the woods with my brothers and sister, and we would build little cabins and do lots of dangerous things like climbing up into the big trees. But at the same time, you know, the books helped inspire, number one, knowledge, number two, fascination and curiosity. And that extended to interest in science, biology, zoology. Ultimately ended up in social work, but hey, we're all mammals.
That's true. Well, see, and Fred brings up a good point is, you know, anybody can introduce their child to a lot of different aspects of nature. Then when you find a child is really exhibiting a lot of interest in one particular field, then there's many, many next steps. You can get a badge in that particular thing, or you can go to an event based on that particular thing. Then, if you really have an interest in that, you can get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a PhD, a lifetime career in that thing. That's what happened to me. You know, at kindergarten, I knew I was going to do something with trees. I just love trees. And my parents fostered that. And so all throughout my career, I've had something to do with trees. And so again, you know, it doesn't take any knowledge, any special training, any special equipment to introduce children to many different aspects of nature. Once you find that the child is reacting to something, you know, feed that. You know, Fred obviously has a interest in astrology also, astronomy, actually. And,
astronomy.
Yeah, sorry, astronomy. And so, you know, he's developed some expertise in that and all these other things he's talked about. And so it's a wonderful way to just grow your child's intellect and interest in exploration.
Fred,
And Midday Matters is, you know, your Thursday show is always just so on the point, connecting us with the world.
You're very kind, Fred. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
All right. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. We have just about 10 minutes in the program here. So if you want to share your story of how to inspire a child in your life to get into nature, or maybe share a story of how you got involved in the great outdoors, we hope you'll share it soon at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall. Send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We need to take just a quick break. Back in 2 minutes. Stay with us.
Do you know what you did yesterday?
No, I don't.
How about this morning?
I don't even remember that.
Henry Mollison's amnesia, caused by experimental brain surgery for epilepsy in 1953, helped neuroscientists understand how memory works. On the next Fresh Air, we meet Suzanne Corkin, who studied him for decades. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
A limited number of tickets are now available for the second annual Picked by the Pros Wine Dinner, Friday, June 21st at the Bergstaff Place, presented by O'Daniel Audi Porsche. Enjoy a wine tasting followed by a gourmet 7-course meal. Tickets are $125 per person or $800 for a table of 8. Purchase online at nipr.fm or call WBOI at 452-1189.
About half the seafood we eat comes from marine farms, and fish waste from the farms pollutes the environment. So marine species are being brought in that know how to recycle those waste products.
Instead of looking at them as waste, we look at them as nutrients for the next species.
Cleaner Fish Farms, today on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4, here on WBOI.
Eight minutes before 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters, Outer Spaces on WBOY. I'm Sean Beter, along with Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust, and we're asking you today, how do you get the child in your life inspired to get involved with nature, to explore nature? Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We hope to hear from you in the next few minutes. We had Tessa posted on our Facebook wall here. Tessa says, we teach our kids which plants attract beneficial insects and animals. They love to watch caterpillars grow and eventually transform into butterflies. And Tessa also sent a photo along of caterpillars currently being raised right in the backyard.
Yeah, you know, again, what another fun activity to be able to watch a caterpillar, and then if you track it into the pupae and then to see it emerge. I mean, again, what a wonderful experience to be able to see. And then again, just taking the time to talk about the purpose of the animals and the insects that you find. You know, some are beneficial to crop plants, some have other benefits. And so really, you know, there's no plant or animal out there that doesn't have a benefit. It just depends on what your priorities are for that animal. And so really just, you know, it's another level you can take it is, what is this animal's purpose?
Well, and exploring that animal or that plant's connection to other parts of the ecosystem, and eventually connecting that back to the child, back to you.
Exactly.
Could be a really engaging experience.
Yep. That it's pollinating the vegetable plants within the garden that we're doing, and that's why we're able to eat this thing tonight for dinner. So it's, again, like you said, it's a very way to come full circle.
Looks like we have a few callers on the line here. Let's open the phones and go first to Jan. Jan, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. I've never really called in before, but this is a subject that's really dear to my heart. We grew up in the country, and the whole outside was our play area. And we scooped up crawfish out of the creek. We collected caterpillars. If we got into the poison ivy accidentally, somehow, I don't know how we knew, but if you break off a piece of milkweed and put it on there, it helped. And we just we learned how to distinguish what could be eaten and what couldn't, and just watching different animals and the behavior of the animals we found out in the woods and in the creek and so forth. It was just a great experience, and I think it really kind of followed us through life, made us more of a curious person, more willing to look at other things closely. It was just a great experience.
And Jan, that's a lovely story. And Jason, this goes back to what you were talking about. It's not always just about getting into nature and exploring. It can also build life skills as well.
It does, you know. And I want to point out one thing that Jan, you kind of shrugged off the poison ivy, and that's a wonderful way to do it because, again, you know,
well,
if you get
made some mistakes.
Yeah, you know, if you get into it, it's not that big of a deal. You might itch for a few days. It's no worse than a child getting a rug burn on the carpet in your house. Again, it's something out there to be watched for, but it's not the end of the world if a child gets a little
right.
patch of poison ivy. And so I love how you put it in perspective that all these wonderful things, and occasionally you ran across something that scratched you or bit you, or you may have got a little patch of poison ivy, but that's part of it.
Jan, we appreciate the story. Thank you so much.
No, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Just a few minutes left in the program here. Let's see if we can get to one more caller, and that's Dave. Dave, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
We have you just fine. You're on the air.
Okay. I just want to encourage people to utilize our state parks. We do a lot of camping at state parks, and they have wonderful programs in their nature centers that are free other than the cost to get into the park. And I've been amazed as an Eagle Scout how great those programs are for the children and how much knowledge they've learned.
And Jason Kissel, I mean, we talked about this at the top of the show. I mean, we have a lot of great resources like state parks just right in our backyard.
They really are. You know, the state park system have wonderful naturalists, just really knowledgeable people. And beyond the knowledge that they have teaching skills. And so they can translate that to the audience in front of them. County park systems do a wonderful job. A lot of nonprofits, Little River Wetland, Acres Land Trust, Blue Heron Ministries Land Trust. There's a lot of great groups in our area who do wonderful programming.
Dave, we appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And it doesn't even have to, Jason, necessarily be a state park. I mean, if you just get out to a city park. Just get into your backyard.
Yep.
It's as simple as that.
Yep. It really is. I mean, nature's always around us, and it's just keying people in to observe it. You know, again, it could be, like you said, in your backyard, it could be the tree and really looking at that tree as a high-rise apartment. You know, what's living under the ground in that tree? What's living on the bark? What's living in the leaves? You know, what animals in this tree never leave the tree? That's their whole life cycles in this tree, you know. You could spend a summer investigating your own tree in your backyard. You know, you get the right child who has that interest and that long-term ability to focus on that, they'll find something new every day in the tree in your backyard.
I love that idea. We have time for just one more comment from Facebook here. Facebook.com/MiddayMatters. Susan Burns posted on our page. Susan says, "The Golden Nature Field Guide of Rocks and Minerals is the first book I bought. Used all 50 cents of my fourth grade allowance. Field guides are still awesome. Open doors for kids and the world around us." And a small book like that can go a long, long way, Jason.
Yeah, you know, it lays out all the possibilities that are around you. And then, you know, another fun activity is pick one that's pretty elusive and make it your summer goal to find it. Around here, it might be a badger, or it might be a river otter, or it might be something else. And so as you're looking at other things, you always have that one goal. Wouldn't it be great to see that? And then you investigate through those field guides where you're most likely to see them and when.
We have to leave it at that today, unfortunately. Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust, we appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks to everybody who posted on our Facebook wall, who called in, shared their thoughts with us. And thanks to everybody who's listening as well. I'm Sean Beter. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 FM HD Channel 1 and online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Stay with us. Fresh Air with your host, Terry Gross, is coming up next. It's 1 o'clock.